it's me, Kristen, Aline, John, and I am your Jesus freak today. So I want to welcome you to our new podcast. And mind you, this is probably like the third podcast that I'm doing, but this one, they said the third time's a charm. And I can guarantee you that we are looking for those who are a very peculiar people, or if you don't want to use all that fancy Bible language, for those of us who feel like we don't really fit in anywhere, but we love Christ so much that all we want to do is eat, breathe, and sleep Christ, but we got to live in this earth and we still got to be some earthly good. But we don't really have anyone that we can talk to about things this deep. Well, I invite you on our new journey as Jesus Freaks together. We're all looking for company. And in this podcast, we're going to speak a lot about topics that's really difficult for us as Christians to talk about, especially in these end times. It's really hard to talk about Jesus boldly, and more so to even talk about Jesus boldly with very difficult topics such as the LGBT, being black and racism and, God's role in slavery and fornication and parenthood and probably having poor relationships with your family. All of some of these are some of the very difficult things as Christians we need to start to pull apart, and we can do none of this without the Holy Spirit. So come on all, let's close our eyes and let's just welcome in the Holy Spirit. Dear God and Holy Father, I thank you for these platforms that you've allowed us to use through technological services. I invite the Holy Spirit to come in and take over, take charge as we speak about a very difficult topic of fornication today. Allow your will to be done throughout this podcast, and allow it to be shared to viewers all over the world, and change our mindsets and renew our mindsets to that which fits into your earthly agenda for your kingdom come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Okay, so fornication. What is fornication? In a nutshell, it's us having sex with someone outside of marriage. And I know there's someone saying, well, who defines what's marriage? Well, let's look a bit into the Word of God. We are already aware that marriage is a very honorable thing. The Bible does inform us of that. The fine line that comes that persons use, it's basically with the whole polygamy, meaning you have more than one spouses, or monogamy, which one God prefers, because we know King David, Abraham, and many of those persons in those cultural times, it was very appropriate for them to have several wives. That doesn't mean that they didn't have several challenges and there weren't several curses brought onto them because they were forming unions with women, or some women were forming unions with men who really and truly did not believe in the mandate of Jesus Christ. And that did bring additional stress and brought curses and plagues into their lives. So sometimes we like to see one thing, but there's repercussions or conditions that occur when we do things our own way. Because one thing I love about God, even though we tend to be a very controlling bunch of people, he ain't gonna control you that much. He wants you to have free will, darling. If you really stop to think about it for a second, why on earth would God know that human beings would be so tempted to eat from that one bad tree in the entire Garden of Eden if he didn't want us to have choices? I mean, he simply could have removed that tree and only allow us to have good choices, but no, he's not a God that forces us. So do know that even though we are witnesses of Christ, and even though we want everyone to be saved, there would always be persons who want to be partakers of the bad fruit. And the Holy Spirit, would be there waiting, knocking on the hearts to enter in, but they would choose not to. And God is not really going to force us. He's going to try to let us know through different ways that he's there, but he's not going to force us, okay? So I just want you to bear that in mind. So with that being said, God is not going to force us not to have sex. He doesn't really want us to, though. His word makes this really clear. When we look at Romans 12, verses 1 to 2, it says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God." That's a very important line. By the mercies of God. It's only by God's mercy we can do a lot of these things. We can't really do it in our own strength. That's why we got to speak about these things. We got to ask for help from our spiritual sisters and brothers in order to do these things right. It says that you should present your bodies a living sacrifice, a holy, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. So it's a service unto God to keep our bodies holy and acceptable. And do not be conformed by this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I just love that line. So that's Romans 12 verses 1 to 2. I love the word. Okay, so basically what he's saying is that as a service unto me, this is for those that really love him, I want you to try to have your body as holy and acceptable as you can. Now, some persons really go to a deep extreme and think that means they cannot wear Louis Vuittons, or think they shouldn't wear brand names, or think they shouldn't wear their weaves, or shouldn't put on red lipstick. Wear your red lipstick if you want to. You know, geez, God created your beauty. Your beauty is a gift. If that's how you feel beautiful, you do what you got to do, okay? Once it doesn't alter the way he changes you to the detriment of your health, it's all well and good. But with that being said, I want us to be mindful that we do have a responsibility to walk through this very dark world as beams of light. And there must be things that persons could point and identify and say, they're a bit different, I'm not sure what it is, without us even saying a word. So non-verbally, we should be sending out messages by trying to live in a way that's holy and acceptable. And even though the world tells us, before you marry someone, you should have sex with them, which, by the way, I did. I had years of fornications. I'm going to tell myself, you're not going to tell on me. Years of fornication. I was living with my husband. I had a child outside of wedlock who I love so dearly. And we did this for several years. But that doesn't mean that God wasn't speaking to me and saying, this has got to stop. And basically, a year before the marriage, I really stopped fornication. I think I had a couple slip-ups, if I'm very transparent, but it was a very, very rewarding experience, because you do know that it is a sacrifice, but it's not something that you can do in your own strength. It really was just a period where I was able to kill my flesh and allow my spirit to thrive. So your flesh would speak. It will say, I want some tonight. I'm going to go out. I'm going to have some drinks and I deserve to feel relaxed. And we all know, if you've had sex before, that when you don't have sex, you do feel a bit nervous and balmy. You know, you want to have that sex over and over. But it is a service. It is a sacrifice. And we got to kill that flesh. And we got to go to God and say, God, oh, you know, I want some tonight. That's how I talk to God. I talk to God real, real. Like, I see anything. And we should all aim for to get even deeper in levels of intimacies with that. You should have a relationship with God where y'all could go there and you don't feel weird telling him things like that. I would say, you know, I want to have sex really bad, and you need to do something about this, because if it's not for your mercy, I'm going to be sinning tonight. And you said you're not going to give me more than I can bear, so I need you to come down and send your angel and block that door, because I'm going to get in my car and I'm going to him and I'm going to get me some. Yeah. Okay, so I do know it's hard. I'm not sitting here in any way trying to condemn. I'm just here acknowledging with you that Jesus knows it's hard. I mean, he walked on this earth just like you and I in flesh. So he knows it's hard. I know it's hard. You know it's hard. But is it right? The world says yes, but the word says that don't be conformed to what this world says, but be renewed by the renewal of your mind. So God's word is what we use to renew our mind daily. And that's why each day we got to get in his book. And the book says that his words, through his apostles, it plainly states here that we really and truly should do what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable. And you want to know what's the best part to that? Even though you're probably not going to get that lovely orgasmic release that you're going to get from the flesh, you get it in that area, but you kill part of yourself spiritually, because you feel good there, and then there's this guilty feeling that comes, like, oh gosh, I know that wasn't good. And then a feeling of shame, and sometimes you don't feel as emboldened to praise God, but know that his grace is sufficient for you. So if you had made mistakes, just know that you can go to God and you said, Lord, I repent. And really and truly, as much as you can, And with the help of His Holy Spirit, let's try not to go there again. But we are humans. We are fallen, you know, persons. But we have to try as much as possible. The best part of this is that God sees and He rewards your sacrifices. So when He sees that you have avoided this temptation, even when the body is calling, even when the phone is ringing, even when all your friends are doing it and talking about what position is good and what toys they're using, and when you turn on the television and everyone is getting lit up except you, God is going to reward you for that because it's a sacrifice. And do you know something that I do? I don't know if it's conceited, but that's how my relationship is, you know, with Him. So I make no apologies for it. I love my relationship with Christ. I tell Him, I remind Him of my sacrifices. And it's biblical because when King Hezekiah received word from a prophet that he was going to die, he came to God and he said, remember these things that I did to you. And then he asked for grace for extension of life, and God granted it to him. I use that principle and I put that in His word. And I tell God, I said, well, you know, Lord, remember that I've been faithful in these couple of months as I've promised you. And therefore, I would like to see some manifested evidence of, if I do not do this, that you are going to send me a husband. That's a tip for you single ladies. You understand? So even as I speak to you right now, I'm in a long distance relationship with my husband. I am in another part of the world and he's in a 100 miles away, literally. And I've asked God before I came on this journey that took lots of prayer and consecration, but I know I'm here to do His work amongst other things. I asked Him to kill my libido so I don't have to deal with that temptation. And boy, did I tell you, I have nothing going on there. And I give God thanks and praise for that. But when I see my husband again, then I'm going to ask Him to ignite it, and He will. But once again, that comes through relationship with Christ. So Jesus freaks, just know it's okay to get your freak on, but ensure you're doing it in God's will, which is through marriage. And not the marriage that we sign a paper where no one sees, but a marriage that comes before God, is ordained before God and witnesses, and by His ministers of Christ. Okay, so I want to thank you everyone for joining our very first podcast, and stay tuned because each week there'll be a new download of us dissecting the very difficult topics. Get your freaks on. We are Jesus Freaks.